You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show and happy Valentine's Day.
Right. It is Valentine's Day. And gosh, I remember ages ago going out for Valentine's Day with my sweetie. And I swear they used to jack the prices up. So anyhow, but that's in the past.
Well, they certainly do. Now, of course, maybe I've learned a bit of financial sense from talking to people like you, Bob. But also, if you've been married for over four decades, you get to be practical. So, for example, those heart box shaped or those heart shaped boxes of chocolates.
Oh yeah.
The amount of chocolate you get is less, and you pay more than a similar sized box. Also, instead of buying the chocolate Valentine's Day, just say to your sweetie, you want twice as much? Buy it the day after. They want to get rid of all that chocolate. And yeah, and keep the box, the heart-shaped box, and then put regular chocolates in it next year.
Uh-huh.
And put that away. And then, again, you've saved yourself a third or double the price.
Yeah.
And, of course, chocolate. Cocoa itself has just exploded in price this year.
Oh, yeah. They had severe crop failures. Yeah.
So, invest in cocoa, or is it too late to do that?
Oh, well, God, no. It's up by 10, 12 times or something like that, and has gone straight up. So, no, you don't buy straight up things.
And we have several listener questions for our episode today. So let's kick off with our first question from Daniel. He writes us, Bob Hoy said that in a full-fledged economic contraction, the Fed can't print money. Why? Because private credit markets seize up, and that even if the Fed expands its balance sheet, money may not circulate through the economy effectively. Is that true, Bob?
Oh, yeah. Take a look. You've had a central bank in England since 1694, and it was there to prevent bad things from happening, and they keep recessions every 4 to 5 years, and then there, from time to time, there's a Great Depression. So no, the central banking has been a fraudulent promotion.
What is the solution to that?
You can't get rid of a central bank, and the only way to do is to try to discipline it. And that would be with a gold standard where the dollar is convertible into a fixed amount of gold.
Now, Bob, is the Bank of Canada owned by the federal government, or is it a organization that's made up of something?
I think it's owned by big banks.
Right. And,
yeah,
and the government appoints...
Move along from that part of the question.
Yeah. So... The government then appoints the chair, so it gives the appearance that the Bank of Canada is a government organization, but in fact it's the biggest banks. And do the big banks do what they think is best for the big banks, not necessarily what's best for the country?
Of course.
Why wouldn't they?
Right.
Our next question is about money printing, and it comes from Butch. Butch was wondering, Bob, could you explain the money printing process? Keep hearing the dollar is going to zero and inflation will take off because of money printing or creating it out of thin air. Who does it? Where does it go? Why don't they just hand it out if they do?
Well, money printing can only happen when you have absolutely no credit market at all. And the example was the Weimar inflation in Germany in 1922-23. And there was not much of a credit market, so they then actually did turn to the printing presses, and you had that horrendous Weimar inflation. Now, unfortunately, many commentators use the term that the Fed is going to turn on the printing press, but it can't. All it can do is provide too much credit, and it does it too frequently. So,
Butch goes on to ask, Does all this money that's printed go to central banks and they issue bonds? Why pay all this tax if they can just create it? Thanks for the show, Bob. I never miss it.
Yeah, thanks for your kind comments. Central bankers have never been able to print money and keep the parties going. Eventually, you always get a recession, and from time to time you get a depression.
I like the idea. They can just print some money, give it to me, and then it's the problem solved.
Yeah.
Why isn't the problem solved by doing that, Bob?
Because it doesn't work.
Why doesn't it work?
Oh, Jim. Doesn't work.
Now, our question, next question comes from Michael. Greetings, Bob and Jim and my fellow House Street listeners. It seems like gold may hit $3,000 per ounce shortly. Bob, I'm confused. One of supposed silver would have reached its high from 2011 of $50 an ounce, and that the precious metal miners would be at their 2012 highs, but they're nowhere near those old highs. Bob, what's going on here? Are people buying gold for safety, not speculation?
Yeah, some safety. And, of course, when it's going straight up, it has been highly speculative. They're all talking about $3,000 gold.
Also, the question goes on. Who is standing for delivery as gold is being repatriated at record amounts from the Bank of England to the USA?
That question can't be answered. Hmm.
Another gold question for Bob from Michael. There was a time it is said that the S&P index had roughly the same value as gold, but currently gold at nearly $3,000 American is half the value of the S&P at approximately $6,100. Will gold go up to meet the value of the S&P, or will the S&P decline by half?
Yeah, well, that was an old thing happened, and ages ago they used to say that a gold guinea would buy a men's suit. These are legends, and they come and they go, but the main thing is we're in a post-bubble contraction, and in previous post-bubble contractions, gold's real price goes up, and it goes up relative. You know, I like to take it gold divided by the commodities, the CRB, and assume that the CRB is a proxy for mining costs. And so long as gold is the bullion price is doing well compared to mining costs, the miners are making money. And whereas the standard way of recommending gold is dollar down, gold up. So if you buy gold stocks on dollar down, gold up, you're speculating in foreign exchange markets. But if you buying gold based upon an increasing stream of earnings, you're investing in the sector. And we've got we're early stages, only a couple of years into it. But typically these, when you're at this stage, it's a 20-year bull market altogether for the gold sector. You know, there'll be cyclical variation on the 3 to 5 year business cycle, but we're only early stages in a long bull market for the gold sector.
Another question comes from Kathleen. I haven't looked at it yet, but I bet you there's some kind of musical reference in it. So, from Kathleen, hello, Bob and Jim. These markets seem so disconnected from reality, running on constantly changing growth narratives. Remember that song, Dem Bones, a children's song introduced in 1928?
Yeah.
The leg bones connected to the knee bones connected to the thigh bone. Right. Now, shake them skeleton bones. Bob, that song seemed to sense the impending 1929 stock market crash. That 1929 market hasn't reached a permanently high plateau, but instead fell apart into a pile of bones. Bob, when will the disconnects matter in the equity market? Can this skeleton of a market starving for newly created growth stories continue to dance much longer?
Wonderful imagery. I love it. Yeah. No, what you got here now is we're describing as a huge rounded top. You've had a great speculative thrust, absolutely outstanding, And then in the middle of December, there was a mighty whack. It was the worst on a chart, on charts back to 1974. And so that was a heads up. So the market is exceptionally high. It's had a whack, and we think it's in a rolling top. And we always want to remember that sometimes the party can be good in the first part of the year, and then definitely after mid-year is the time when things can kind of go wrong.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoyt. Bob, some of the headlines that caught your eye today. Rubio calls Chinese presence at Panama Canal unacceptable.
Oh, yeah. The Chinese were developing quite a presence at the canal. And this is why Trump is talking about taking it over. And I agree. And then also, there's talk of building an even major new canal up in Nicaragua. Across, there's some low country through there and lakes and stuff. There might be a higher profile on the locks than on Panama. But hey, another canal would be good.
Headline from Reuters. Trump wants U.S. to own Gaza, could let the Middle East states help rebuild.
Yeah, I looked it up. Well, I recall that ages ago, in reading articles, that Beirut, which is the main city there, was a Monte Carlo. It was beautiful, gorgeous resort. Also, it was an important financial center for that end of the Mediterranean. So it's a lovely place. And then with misplaced Arabs that were eventually called Palestinians, other Arab countries in Iran and Iraq and whatnot kept it as a plaything. They kept the Palestinians there and prevented them from being assimilated into any of their societies, including Egypt, and they kept them there for political reasons. So the idea, Trump is, the place has been destroyed, and Hamas have got all their tunnels there, and you know, they put in tunnels at a hospital and things like that. So anyways, the place is quite ravaged. So move everybody out, have entrepreneurs come in, private property, and they could rebuild it as the glorious resort that it once was. It's something to look forward to.
Trump's shock and awe tests America's response to chaos.
Oh, yeah. Shock and awe is what it is. The establishment just cannot believe. And what Trump, of course, is playing three-dimensional chess, and the rest of the guys, all the policymakers, are just sitting there with an old checkers board, and they haven't got a clue what's going on. And Trump is a very good handle on it. He's advancing a major reform quite nicely.
Europe teeters towards energy crisis as gas reaches two-year high.
Oh, yeah, there's a story on this one that I recall. Just a few years ago, delegates from Northern Europe came to meet with Trudeau to set up compressed natural gas delivery from Canada to Europe. They really saw that they would need it. And Trudeau said, oh, no, that would affect global warming. I won't do that. So they went away. Now, in the interim, maybe that was 3 years ago, we could have been sending shiploads of compressed natural gas to Europe. But that oaf Trudeau, I mean, he's just a plain idiot living in a dream world.
Yeah, Germany's
now, lately, somebody's got through to him, and they look at their polls and stuff, and they're beginning to say, oh, maybe we should export natural gas. Of course, it is a very clean source of energy. It's wonderful.
Yeah, Trudeau's response to Germany's request was, we'll send you hydrogen. Nobody's producing hydrogen. Nobody's using hydrogen as a viable fuel right now.
No, hydrogen. Yeah. The problem is you want to have a high-density fuel. And, of course, nuclear is high-density. Coal is high-density. And as is natural gas. But this idea of using hydrogen as a fuel is absolutely impossible. It's very hard to contain the stuff. Steel containers, the composition changes. I mean, hydrogen is just impossible. So forget that one.
Also, I mean, one of the excuses given by the government, it takes so long to build natural gas, LNG facilities. Germany put together LNG reception harbor in a matter of months.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're getting it from the U.S., not Canada.
Yeah. Now, the U.S., you've got the long haul all the way from what used to be called the Gulf of Mexico, whereas the shipping from the west coast of Canada is really short to a whole huge market. So, oh, my God. Fortunately, if we're lucky, after March, Trudeau may be quite resigned out of the position as prime minister. But I won't believe it until I see it, that he's actually gone.
Yeah, one of our roadblocks is Quebec refuses to allow the construction of any pipelines.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, Quebec takes maybe $12 billion a year out of Alberta. And they call it equalization payments, and yet it blocks Canadian pipeline going through to the East Coast.
Yes, they'd rather use Arab oil than Canadian oil.
Yeah, no, the Quebec and energy is totally insane.
Headline from the Wall Street Journal: why speculators are still running wild when money is no longer free.
Yeah, real. The only way you get. Well, they did have zero interest rates and even nominal minus. That was an absurdity a few years ago. But the point being, a good way to look at interest rates, Jim, is real long interest rates. That, by real, I mean you adjust it for the rate of inflation. And again, one of the features of a post-bubble contraction is the real long rates going up. And they are up by about 2.5 percentage points so far. And interest rates are becoming a little uncomfortable. But the typical increase has been in the order of 10 percentage points on the full disaster. And we have all of this ahead of us. Yeah.
Headline from Reuters: gold bulls lock in glittering milestone, $3,000 an ounce gold in sight.
I love the phrase glittering milestones. That's why I grabbed that headline. It's wonderful, yeah. Yeah, no, there's been an enormous party in gold, as we've mentioned, and it's very toppy, beginning to correct, but it's early stages of a multi-year bull market for gold.
From Associated Press, little to no relief from high borrowing costs expected as Fed Chair Powell heads to the Hill.
Yeah, head to the Hill, that means he goes to Congress to testify about stuff. And I would love to be in the shoes of a central banker, get the appointment, and then you discover that you really have no power at all. So you're only there for the prestige and the image. And of course, they're talking utter nonsense. So you got to understand that this is how it works. The Federal Reserve is the lender of last resort. And in the early 1900s, the movers and shakers knew that a credit crisis would be followed by a recession. So then they invented the Federal Reserve as a lender of last resort. And there would be no more credit crises, and therefore no more recessions. The count to recent is 18 recessions. Now, in any serious discipline, one failure of a hypothesis enough to trash it. But this thing now, you got now 18 failures on the theory about central bankers preventing recessions. I mean, you can't believe it.
Yeah, Einstein's definition of insanity was doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's good. Thanks for that one, Jim.
It's on one of my coffee cups, so it must be true.
Yeah.
Just like world's greatest announcer.
U.S.
small business optimism retreats from highest since 2018.
Oh, yeah. It was really great. Well, what you have is the prospect of Trump taking office, and he is pro-business, and he's going to reform government, which is wonderful on the longer term, but all of that is in the market now. I mean, the street knows that Trump is going to be good for the market, so it's in the market.
Headline from Reuters, Trump may dust off 1930 trade discrimination law to back reciprocal tariffs. Didn't the tariffs in the 1930s make the Depression worse?
Yeah. Now, what we're going on here is people who haven't read history are saying that Trump's tariffs will cause a recession. A recession is going to happen anyways. And the other thing is that in the past, these protectionist movements come in when each individual country's economy is doing very poorly and politicians are facing high unemployment. So then they then come in with real protectionism and tariffs and all that kind of stuff. And it's just a knee-jerk reaction.
And our final headline from Yahoo, U.S. firms are tapping Europe's cheaper bond market.
Yeah, I guess that says that interest rates for the moment are lower in Europe than they are in North America.
So cheaper to buy that bond.
Yeah, interest rates are lower.
What about the yield, Bob?
I don't know what the yield is, Jim.
Okay. Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, very good, Jim. Look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He was speaking to us from Vancouver. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.